This summer marked the 60th anniversary of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. At the time, little was known about the effects of the A-bomb. Destruction was presumed to be devastating, but this was before the days of instantaneous 24-hour news from around the world. Eyewitness accounts were slow in coming. George Weller, a legendary foreign correspondent for the old Chicago Daily News, was the first foreign reporter to get into Nagasaki after the bombing. But his stories never made it into print. They were censored by the U.S. military. Anthony Weller is a journalist and novelist, and George Weller's son. After his father died in 2002, Anthony Weller discovered copies of original stories that his father wrote in September of 1945. Excerpts from these stories have been released to the press this week. Anthony Weller joins us on the line from his home in San Felice Circeo, Italy. Thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure to talk to you, Scott. Thank you.
Could you read us some of the selections from those dispatches that reached you most powerfully?
Sure. Now, my father entered the city on September 6th, exactly 4 weeks, almost to the hour, after the bomb fell on Nagasaki. And this is my father's dispatch from the 9th of September. Dr. Nakashima divides the deaths outside simple burns and fractures into two classes on the basis of symptoms observed in post-mortem autopsies. Among exterior symptoms in the first class are falling hair from the head, armpits in public zones, spotty local skin hemorrhages looking like measles all over the body, lip sores, diarrhea but without blood discharge, swelling in the throat and a descent in the number of red and white corpuscles. The fever rises to 104 and stays there without fluctuating. Interior symptoms revealed in the postmortem seem to show the intestines choked with blood, which Nakashima thinks occurs a few hours before death. Nakashima considers it possible that the atom bomb's rare rays may cause deaths in the first class, as with delayed X-ray burns. But the second class has him totally baffled. These patients begin with slight burns, which make normal progress for 2 weeks. They differ from simple burns, however, in that the patient has a high fever. Where fever is present after 2 weeks, healing of burns suddenly halts, and they get worse. They come to resemble septic ulcers, yet patients are not in great pain, which distinguishes them from any X-ray burn victims. Up to 5 days later, they die. Their bloodstream is not thinned, as in the first class, and their organs after death are found in a normal condition of health. But they are dead, dead of the atomic bomb, and nobody knows why.
You know, it's interesting, Anthony, because the first excerpts I read of your father's dispatch in the Chicago Sun-Times, a couple of the sections they reprinted have your father observing that he thought the bomb was a tremendous but not peculiar force, I guess he put it, that he doubted the stories of radiation sickness.
Well, remember, at that time, there was a great deal of controversy about this because the U.S. government had very carefully circulated the notion that there was no danger from radiation. I know my father, after 4 years in the Pacific War, had seen a great deal of gore and bloodshed. And I think when he first saw the city, he felt, well, this is a very precise military strike. And there's a kind of arc in my father's dispatches that goes from the initial sense of this is an extremely precise bomb to what on earth is going on here.
Nagasaki was officially put off limits by General MacArthur, who was commander of all Allied forces in the Pacific at that point, or all U.S. forces in the Pacific.
Right.
And the story has been for years that General MacArthur himself personally prevented your father's dispatches from being published.
Yes. Well, I think my father certainly felt that very strongly, and he always said and indeed wrote the source of this was the fact that MacArthur had his eyes on the presidency as an ultimate target, and he was absolutely furious that he had not been allowed to gradually captured Japan in his own glorious and slow way. And the last thing MacArthur wanted to do was let any journalists in to report on how, in a way, MacArthur had not won the war for the American people. These bombs had.
Your father died just, was it 3 years ago?
Yeah, he died in December of 2002.
He must have been disappointed not only to not get out the story of what he'd seen in good time and in good order, but in a sense to not, at that very moment, get the credit that was due him for such an extraordinary feat.
Well, his fellow correspondents knew about it, but, you know, he was tremendously frustrated for the rest of his life. He felt that all censorship was a form of propaganda, and that not only that one of the great stories of his career had gotten away, but that in some desperately important way, one of the more pressing stories of his time had been denied to the American people. And as he always said afterwards, that he lost the war in Nagasaki.
I think it's safe to say that your father's World War II dispatches made a lot of us want to become reporters. I wonder if reading his words now, I don't know, makes you glad you did what you did. Was there a part of him that didn't want the same life for you?
You know, my father didn't set out to be a war correspondent. He set out to be a novelist, and he became a journalist out of pure financial need. But I know he always felt that the experience of war and the experience of political man in all its guises had blasted a certain amount of poetry out of him. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, he took the profession as profoundly seriously as one could. And for me, it's been a tremendously powerful encounter to reread his words and see how much grip and force they have even 60 years later, and to think that he was firing these dispatches out amid things that nobody else had ever seen before, and writing this well at speed is obviously makes me very proud.
Anthony, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anthony Weller, the son of the late legendary foreign correspondent George Weller, speaking with us from San Felice Circeo, Italy. The full interview and more of George Weller's dispatches from Nagasaki are on our website, npr.org.